This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. And the opening half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They take care of a multitude of insurance needs. And let's face it, we have a multitude of insurance needs. They'll do everything they can to save you money. They will also do everything they can to make sure that you are fully insured. Customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Very pleased to bring in the new play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you see him on air, on TV, he is brilliant and smooth. When he's filled in for Bill Hillgrove before, he was outstanding, and he deserves to have the spot he has. Rob King, welcome to the job. Welcome to the show.
Steve, thanks for the welcome to both. I really appreciate it.
All right, so give me the moment when they finally told you, you know what, Rob? You're the guy. What was that like for you?
Interesting. I was in Porto, Portugal with my wife on vacation and looked down at my phone, and it was Reagan Berube from the Steelers calling me and offering me the job, and it was a little surreal. I wasn't in Pittsburgh. I was on vacation with my wife in a foreign country, walking down a small cobblestone street, and it probably would have been surreal anyway, Steve, but it was a little surreal, extra surreal because of that, but wonderful, and it sort of hit me at once and then hit me slowly both at the same time, if you know what I mean. So it's been wonderful. It was a great experience, and I'm just thrilled that Art Rooney and the Steelers have put their faith in me, and I'm going to do everything I can to uphold that faith.
And you will. That will be no problem at all. Rob, it's you have to be the first Rob King. You don't have to be the next Bill Hillgrove or
That's
the next
right.
Jack Fleming. In fact, the opening game I do will be down at West Virginia. Jack was the play-by-play guy down there for years. But between Jack Fleming and Bill Hillgrove, just can you reflect on the legacy of their work and the opportunity for you to continue that legacy?
Yeah, I mean, both were singular, both amazing. I never knew Jack Fleming personally. I've heard some of his calls.
Yeah.
Bill, I've gotten to know over, I was there for all but a handful of the years that he called Steelers games. I've been in Pittsburgh, and I heard him calling Pitt games. Wonderful man. He has that beautiful voice, that beautiful, rich voice that just is comforting. That's become part of what the Steelers are to people. And you're right. I mean, a couple things. First of all, you don't replace Bill Hillgrove. You follow Bill Hillgrove, and you just try to do the job to the best of your ability. And I think that's what's important for me. Obviously, I think when you listen to the radio, whether you're listening to Steve Jones or Bill Hillgrove, or you just mentioned West Virginia, Tony Caridi, any of the other great broadcasters, you're probably picking up something. And those things probably help you, but I think at the end of the day, you have to be yourself. I'm a big believer in that. You have to be who you are, and I think if you're who you are and do the job to the best of your ability, hopefully, enough people will like the job that you're doing.
Right, exactly, because I succeeded Fran Fischer, and at Penn State, Fran Fischer was a legend. You have to be you. I mean, you can't be, copy what they do. So now let's get to this team. Well, let's get to the job. Yes, the job is about this team. Russell Wilson's going to finally get out there and get a few snaps coming up. What's your thought on what the combination of Arthur Smith can mean with the skill set of Russell Wilson?
I think it can mean the world, Steve. I mean, I really do. You know, when the Steelers got solid quarterback play, and whether you want to ascribe the non-solid play at that position to the quarterback position, to the offensive coordinator, to a combination of the two, doesn't really matter. It's the most important position in sports, and it wasn't until Mason Rudolph came on in relief with the new offensive coordinator that the Steelers got some productivity from that quarterback position, won their last three games against teams that were, for the most part, in similar positions that they were. You know, Cincinnati without Joe Burrow, trying to find a way into the playoffs in contention. Seattle with their starting quarterback, not a super team, but a playoff caliber team in contention. The Steelers were able to beat those teams with that formula of, you know, a new offensive coordinator and better quarterback play. Well, they're going to get better quarterback play from the jump. And Arthur Smith is, you know, somebody came out, I think it was PFF, came out with a recent poll of top offensive coordinators in football. I believe he ranked fifth. So he brings that sort of gravitas to the position. I think that combination is going to prove to be very successful for the Steelers. I mean, it's the most important position in professional sports, quarterback. Russell Wilson has looked extremely sharp at camp. And I think that it's going to be a major upgrade for this team at the quarterback position, and I think that that's going to show on the field.
Rob, I was talking with Jerry Dulac the other day, and he said something that struck him is George Pickens has been putting on a highlight show in practice almost every single day. Your thoughts on George Pickens, but also the ability to balance it and put somebody on the other side that can be productive when Pickens gets a double?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think the one thing about George Pickens, you know, until you've done it, you haven't really done it. And George, I believe George has the physical attributes, the capabilities to be that number one type of receiver. And I think the Steelers believe that too. You know, Mike Tomlin sort of, you know, made a little challenge last year. He said, listen, Antonio Brown got double teamed and Antonio Brown found a way to get open. Well, if you can be that kind of a guy, then the guy on the other side, you know, his job becomes a lot easier. They have a solid veteran in Van Jefferson. He was a guy that, you know, had some injury issues, and then, you know, the Rams found themselves with an absolute steal in last year's draft in Puka Nacua. And so Jefferson was, you know, the odd man out in that formula. I think Calvin Austin, you know, he's looked really good. He has looked really good, but call it more of just an overall gut feeling, you know, watching Russell Wilson work with him after practice, seeing how he's been targeted in practice, seeing the fact that he's been moved to different positions and isn't just sort of a gadget guy like he was last year under Matt Canada. You know, he's got to be able to block, but I think he's showing a willingness to do that. And I think for receivers, a willingness is three-quarters of the battle. Just get in the way. Be willing to block downfield, because in Arthur Smith's offense, everybody blocks, and that means the receivers. And we saw it in week one when Scotty Miller, who's on the diminutive side, threw a block, and it turned a 10-yard gain into a 20-yard gain. So they have to be able to do a lot of different things. I also think, Steve, I think it's going to be more by committee. I think Pat Freiermuth's going to have a bigger year. I think Darnell Washington is quietly going to see an increase in targets. And I think Van Jefferson, with all that, Jefferson, Austin, the tight end, maybe a little more usage of the running backs coming out of the backfield. I think it's going to be a committee approach to being sort of that second target besides George Pickens.
And I'm glad you brought up Pat Freiermuth, Rob, because that's where I was going next. Because when I see an Arthur Smith offense, tight ends, and in this case, Najee Harris at running back, seem to thrive in what he does. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it is, and I think we saw it last year in Atlanta, where his tight ends were, you know, first of all, he had good tight ends down there, but they were targeted. And in Pittsburgh, those tight ends weren't targeted. And I think Pat Freiermuth has every possibility of being a very good receiving tight end. I mean, I think there are a few guys that have sort of separated themselves from elite, and I think there's a big jump from where Pat was to that level, just based largely on the fact that he hasn't been utilized. So let's see how he's utilized, and let's see where the talent takes him. But I think wherever his talents are, and I think they're considerable, I think we're going to see that part of Pat Freiermuth and that part of his game evolve. He just wasn't targeted a lot, and he's a gifted player who I think is going to be targeted a ton. I think with the system, and with, I believe he's going to have a big year, and I do think that, you know, it's going to be in tandem with some other guys. I think Connor Hayward coming out of the backfield, more of an H-back tight end type of guy, he's going to be productive. I really do think Darnell Washington, I wouldn't be surprised if he had 25 or 30 catches this year, which would be a huge jump for him.
Rob, in fact, part of this is that the offensive line with which all this is going to happen around, and especially for Russell Wilson, in my personal opinion, is exponentially better than the offensive line he had at Denver. And the Steelers, through the draft, and Jack Ham and I last year when we did the Penn State-West Virginia game, were really impressed with Zach Frazier. And then the first-round pick out of Washington, and Broderick Jones and so forth. You know, Russell Wilson, I think, has an opportunity to have a much better year because he's just flat-out going to be better protected.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned better year, and, of course, he was sat the last 2 weeks. And Denver is going down a different path. I think that is going to be – I'm curious to see whether that's going to work. I mean, they've he's burned that thing to the ground, and now he's going to try to, you know, build it back up. But Russell Wilson was benched with two games left. He threw 26 touchdown passes. Yeah. That was twice as many touchdown passes as the Steelers had out of their quarterback position. And he didn't even play the last two games. Yeah. So I think even that productivity level would be a welcome sight in Pittsburgh. It's been a couple of years since we've seen anything like that kind of productivity. But I agree with you. I think that, you know, Andy Weidel, who is the assistant general manager, talked about that yesterday, and he brought with him, first of all, he's an old offensive lineman himself from the Pittsburgh area, went to Villanova, played some offensive line, and you know, he loves building in the trenches. You know, and he made the comment that travels well, you know. A passing game, you know, you go from, you know, indoors or out west or down south where the weather is nice, and you come to the Northeast in the winter and it's the ball's slick and it's cold out and it's sleeting or it's snowing, that might not travel well. Well, you know, it sounds elemental, but bullying the other team up front, that travels. It does, and that's the point of it. It doesn't matter where you are. Big physical guys imposing their will on the other team, that plays in any stadium in America. And I think that the Steelers are trying to get back to having that kind of identity. You mentioned it. I mean, they've built it in the draft. They've added pieces in free agency. They want a certain type of offensive lineman, a certain type of player that will bully you, that will try to impose their will upon you. And I think they're starting to get that kind of a group together. I think it's an offensive line. Fautano, I don't know how long he's going to be out for. He suffered an injury, but he's very athletic, very good. Mason McCormick is a young guard that they really like. They got in the fourth round this year. I think that they're building an offensive line that is going to be far better than the one Russell Wilson had in Denver, for sure, Steve.
Yeah, it's something that Jack Ham and I have talked about for so long. Two things travel. Your running game, offensive line, defense.
Right.
So let's get over to defense. Right. I've asked all these offensive questions.
Sure.
I thought one of the, and you can place him one, two, three, whatever. I thought one of the top three free agent signings was Patrick Queen, because A, you took him away from Baltimore, and B, he's really good. What has impressed you about Patrick Queen?
Well, I think just what you see out there with the closing speed. I mean, he is fast. Another point we've been talking about, and I'm glad Andy Weidel sort of underlined it yesterday, they are a faster team. You know, they picked up in the trade Deontay Johnson for Jackson. They traded Carolina. They picked up great speed at the cornerback position. They've already got speed with Micah Fitzpatrick. They're faster at safety now with Deshaun Elliott. But Patrick Queen can fly. I mean, he can really move. I'll be extremely interested to see how they utilize him, because he's so good at so many things. He's good at stopping the run. He's good at coverage. He's good at blitzing. You know, a problem of how you're going to deploy somebody who's really good at a lot of things is not much of a problem at all. It'll be interesting, though. And I think that, I agree with you. I think that was a sort of an under the radar as far as national news. It made some news, but just for the style of football that you want to play, the sort of division you're in, the capabilities and abilities of the player. I think it was a great signing. And I'll tell you, Peyton Wilson, a young linebacker, has also really impressed. Another guy who can really run, a rookie. He had some injury issues in college, but he won he was the linebacker of the year last year at the collegiate level. He can really motor. So they've improved their speed overall, but Patrick Queen, I think, now gives them, playmakers at every position. Talk about Minka Fitzpatrick and Joey Porter Jr., another Penn State guy on the back end. They're both playmakers. You had guys up front like Cam Hayward. Keanu Benton is an emerging player. And, of course, you had the two guys, Watt and Highsmith, on the outside. What you were lacking was you had a really good, solid middle linebacker in Landon Roberts, but who's out there running around making plays? And to me, that's so many turnovers happen because the way I would define it is something sudden happening at the ball. You're a running back, and you don't see. If you see a guy, you're probably not going to fumble. If a guy flashes from your left and you don't have a chance to see him and he hits you, that's usually when the ball jars loose or the quarterback is hit when he's trying to throw it. Something sudden happening at the ball. The Steelers really haven't had that since Ryan Shazier at that middle linebacker position.
Right.
And I think Patrick Queen can be that kind of a player for him.
Yeah, they've been looking for that guy since since Ryan Shazier. There's no doubt about that. One thing about Watt, he'll demand so much attention. He may have to keep a tight end in, running back in, which, of course, takes them out of the pass pattern. It opens up life for Highsmith. Well, now I think you have to make a decision on offense with that running back. Am I going out to use him on Watt, or am I keeping him in because I got to pick up Queen if he blitzes? I think that the personnel they have has now made a multitude of problem decisions for offenses because of that, because you don't know which guy to double or pick up.
I totally agree with you. And, as I'm trying to explain football to casual fans, I try to explain to them how one player can ease the burden and make better two or three players around them. So if you're TJ Watt, well, you're not going to just leave a tackle on him like you might with another guy. You have to make the decision about a running back or a tight end. As you point out, now that guy's not going out into a pattern. What does that do? It makes life easier for a Patrick Queen or the corner on that side or the strong safety, whoever would have those coverage responsibilities, freeing them up to do more. And so it has a trickle-down effect. And I think great players like Patrick Queen, like TJ Watt, can have that kind of effect on a defense. It's not just what they can accomplish singularly, but as you point out, Steve, how they affect other players and then how they affect the opposing team's game plan that has such a huge effect on a game.
Finally, Rob, in the preseason, you always feel like roster spots 35 to 53 are probably at stake. How do you then eventually evaluate a preseason game to then help you get ready for the regular season, whether it's looking at 35 to 53 or maybe somebody doing a cameo?
I think, Steve, the biggest thing for me, look, I think that, the starters just want to get out there. They want to get a little work in. Certainly there are jobs up for grabs. Zach Frazier, there's a job up for grabs at the center position. Valtanu probably could have had the same effect, maybe pushing Broderick Jones to the left side. I don't expect to see him. He's certainly not going to play in this game. Whether he'd be ready for next week seems doubtful. He's not practicing yet. So there are certainly jobs up for grabs, for sure. But I think for the Steelers right now, I don't know if it's under the radar, but if you're a casual fan and you're tuning in, keep an eye on special teams because they've lost a number of core players from their special teams unit. In fact, they went out and got Tyler Matakevich, who's been a great special teams player for them. They have Miles Killebrew. But a lot of guys who took a lot of snaps for them, their gunners in special teams, they weren't available. And so, if you can prove to be a gunner, and it has to be in conjunction, right? You can't just be unless you're an unbelievable gunner. You can't just be a great gunner on a punt team and make the team. You could, but you'd like to be able to contribute in other areas. So, that 35 through 53, I think, is interesting in that regard because that's a component the Steelers obviously put some attention in. They went out and got Cordarrelle Patterson, who's an elite return man. They massively upgraded at the punter position. You know, that net, Steve, is worth about 25 yards a game. Yeah. And that's 25 yards a game is, just put it this way, the Steelers' offense ranked 26th in the NFL last year in yardage per game. If you gave them that 25 yards that you're going to get back in the punting game by upgrading from Harvin to Johnston, it jumped from 26th to 19th. Yeah. That's what 25 yards a game can do for you. They talk about quote-unquote hidden yardage. So you've made this investment in special teams. Now you've got to find out where your coverage units are. So I think that's going to be something I look for. And obviously I think that, you know, the second and third and fourth receivers and the nickelback. You know, Beanie Bishop right now, I think Graylin Arnold might have had the inside track, a veteran, but he got injured. So now Beanie Bishop, and that's a relatively new injury for Arnold. So Beanie Bishop is going to be thrust into the spotlight a little bit. So there's always something to watch, Steve, as you well know.
Rob, I'm thrilled for you because you earned this, and you're going to have this a long time. And I'm thrilled for Steeler fans because you're going to deliver for them. Thanks so much for the time you gave us, and hope this is the first of many, many conversations.
I hope as well, Stephen. Thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Rob King, he is the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Auto Home, or it should be Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way, routine, difficult, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Well, Rob King's going to do a great job. I mean, no doubt about that in my mind. I thought he was, from step one, I thought he was going to be the choice. He had filled in for Bill before. He'd done a great job. And now, this opportunity. And he will do very well. And look, the Steelers are in an interesting spot. Number one, they're in the tough division. We know that. And we do know they're in a tough division. All right. And I think that's, you know, an important part of this is they're in the division that has Lamar Jackson, they're in the division that has Joe Burrow, and they're in the division that has Myles Garrett. And I think that this will be one where I think 12 wins, I think, could win the division. a 12-5 team can win it.
I think the Steelers are in a position, you know, right now where would it surprise you if they finished in any spot in that order? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they won the division. Well, it might be surprise me a little bit if it means that they were better than Baltimore, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they ended up last either.
Yeah, it's possible because it's going to depend on how Deshaun Watson plays.
Yes.
That's a big part of it. I mean, the Eagles, to me, have a clear-cut road to the top of the NFC East. And because they have a clear-cut road in the NFC East, I mean, Dallas has talent, but they're not... I don't know. Dallas has talent, but there's a disorganization to Dallas that they don't make any, that doesn't make sense. And
I'm trying to figure out why he's decided to play hardball with his three best players.
I don't know if it is. I don't know if it's salary cap related. I mean, that's a possibility.
Everybody else seems to have figured out the salary cap except the Cowboys.
Well, they've got guys that want a lot of money. I mean, that's the issue. You're talking about between CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott. And I thought Dak Prescott a couple of years ago signed an extension.
But it wasn't a long one.
Oh, for goodness sakes. And I mean, Parsons is going to be a lot of money. Prescott's going to be a lot of money. CeeDee Lamb's going to be a lot of money. Now, the Eagles did a great job of tying up Jalen Hurts. I know it's a running back, but they get Saquon Barkley essentially on the cheap, even though it's a really good contract for Saquon. And they re-signed A.J. Brown. Now, they don't have anybody on defense that is worthy of a huge contract because they don't. We've got Jalen Carter. Good for you. I'm happy for it.
I feel like the Eagles figured out, you know, what we talked about yesterday with the, you know, with construction and the Olympics and stuff. You're going to have to pay the price, and if you do it now, it's a heck of a lot cheaper than it's going to be in 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And you know, they did it with Hurts, and Jerry Jones didn't sign Dax to that long contract 2 or 3 years ago, and now he's paying that price.
Wasn't Dax's contract $40 million a year though?
Yeah. Which is still pretty cheap in the overall scheme of things for quarterbacks. I know that's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. And he's an interesting quarterback because he has moments of wow, and then he has moments of whoa. And you just don't know what you're going to get. Now, let's be straight here. Jalen Hurts had that season last year. He had moments of wow, and he had moments of whoa. Okay. I mean, that's pretty simple.
Dax is kind of like Lamar in the sense that, you know, he's really good during the regular season, and then there's obviously question marks when the playoffs start.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but Lamar's issue,
I kind of put that more on Monken last year, because going away from the run game.
Yeah. I mean, to a point. But see, Lamar Jackson is a very good passer. But I'm sorry. I mean, I know everybody wants to make it out that he's this great, awesome, and incredible passer. He's a very good passer. He is not a great passer. And there are moments along the way where you need your quarterback to be a great passer. It's just the way it is. You have to have a quarterback that ends up being a great passer. And they don't have that. And I think that, that's a huge issue in all this for them, because at some point you're going to have to throw the football. And you're going to have to throw it in the clutch. And Patrick Mahomes can throw it in the clutch. Okay, Josh Allen can throw it in the clutch. And Lamar Jackson in the clutch is still a question mark. At least I think he is.
I think until you know, this what twice now that they've been the best team in the league in the regular season and haven't made the Super Bowl, I think that's a perfectly legitimate question.
I mean, I watch him play. And now you get to the big game. Look, they played Kansas City at home last year. And, you know, he can't help what Mahomes does, but he can help what he does. And so far, Lamar Jackson has been Aaron Judge. Right? Okay, now it's the postseason. You're not playing a regular season game in October, and everybody's, wow, what? Okay, now it's like the money's on the table. You have to be the focal point of what goes on. And, again, he is a dynamic player, but the weakest part of his game is still throwing the ball. I think he can see the field. I think he reads things well. He's a great runner. My goodness, one of the best running quarterbacks I ever saw in my life. And on short throws, he's very accurate. But you get into these big games like this where they're putting more pressure on you. I mean, geez. I mean, you're not out there doing you're not out there facing the Carolina Panthers in October where you're playing with the lead, you're doing all this. Now you're up against, like, you know, I better score here. That's Patrick Mahomes over there. That makes a big difference. Where the pressure really is on you to produce.
The argument's always been, you know, their receiving core, but I think that kind of doesn't hold a lot of water anymore. You've seen it, you know, the Chiefs receiving core last year, and, you know, it, kind of what they ended up getting, you know, winning a Super Bowl with probably a worse receiving core than the Ravens had last year.
Yeah. You know, they had a lot of interchangeable parts. They had to bring back Mecole Hardman from the Jets. Yeah, so. I don't know. It is. I'm not, you know. I mean, that's where he is. It's one thing to win regular season games, which are hard enough. But there's a reason why the playoffs are the playoffs. I mean, pretty simple. The playoffs are the playoffs for a reason. It's the best competition, and the pressure is on every single possession. It's on every snap. And we talked about Aaron Judge. Well, what's his big problem in the playoffs? Well, I guess what? You know, see the rotation over there? They got into the playoffs because they're good on a consistent basis. You're not out there hitting home runs off the number 5 starter. I mean, he is 300th off a pitcher from the White Sox. I guarantee you, he's not seeing that pitcher in the postseason.
I was just going to say, you don't see a lot of long and middle relievers in the postseason either.
No, you don't. And you don't get bullpen days.
Unless you're the Rays, but...
Oh, yeah, well, that's not going to happen this year.
No.
So... But, I mean, that's where they are. And that's why... I always love when they make you, like, you get, now you do these electronic signatures, and you got to sit there and you got to sign the stupid thing with your finger. Have you ever done that?
Oh, I just make a line, because there's no way you can write all the letters to any semblance.
Oh, no, I had to sign so much stuff the other night, and I joked to somebody as I was signing stuff for people. And I said, see, it's only 10 letters. I'm good. Yay. It's a 10-letter deal.
Just make sure they can see the S at the end and the S at the beginning.
You know what? I'm very much in the what Arnold Palmer said. Okay? And what he said was so true. Oh, take the time to sign it because, and it's legible. He's right. He's right. And I think that that's, so I don't try to scribble my way through it. I don't. And I know Jack doesn't. I mean, and that's the important part. You just don't want to just blow through and then that's it. He always thought that was important. So, all right. Penn State football, they had the day off yesterday, which was great for them. It's one of those, James went into the meeting and they didn't know they were going to get the day off. And he does this in training camp all the time. And all of us pretty much thought it was going to be this way because we were in the stadium Wednesday night. And the practice went till just about 10 o'clock. And so you're like, okay. They're not going to go on Thursday. Now, they're back today. They're going to go today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And then they'll get the day off on Monday. But that's... that's where they are schedule-wise. And so I'll get over there after the show today, take a look at them. And go from there. Yeah, that's the. It's getting down to that point where I believe Monday. Monday, I think, is the red light, yellow light, green light day, where he's going to sit down and he's going to meet with the freshmen and others if need be. And in doing that, that's where the transition will take place as to who will be initially on the development team. And I mean initially, because it doesn't mean you can't work your way to the travel squad. But that meeting will take place on Monday because I wasn't sure. Was it yesterday I think I brought it up, or maybe it was Wednesday I brought it up, where I wasn't sure if it was Sunday or Monday. I found out it's Monday. So that meeting takes place. Just so you know, on this show, suit was put on red light years ago. What?
It's gray-shirted.
Gray-shirted? He's lucky he has a shirt. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is 43 new Hyundais away from their all-time sales record through August. With 134 new Hyundais to choose from, plus deep discounts and low interest rates, SMC is going to break this record. Sunbury Motors has 48 2024 Tucson's available, starting at $32,568, or get 1.99% financing for 60 months. Looking for the most versatile compact truck on the planet? Take up to $3,000 off the 2024 Santa Cruz. The Santa Cruz starts at $31,247. And there's 16 in stock. Here you go, car buyers. SMC has 11 2024 Elantras with 1.99% financing for 60 months. And Elantras start at just $22,960. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai. We're breaking the record in August with 43 new Hyundai sold. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.